Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor. Coach, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry.
So I'm guessing that if you had had an advanced look at the weather forecast for tomorrow in Princeton, you might have tried to schedule a game, as your team doesn't have a game on a day it's going to be 72 degrees. Coincidence that there's no game?
To be honest, we just couldn't get a team to play us on that day that, you know, we wanted to have in our schedule. We hoped we get Penn State there. I think next year they are moving to that weekend, but it's a big conference weekend for a lot of teams, but it's not for Princeton. And it's unusual for us to have two Saturdays without a midweek game, but in the next 3 weeks, we'll have two games a week, which is also more than we've had. So, you know, you got to play when teams can play you. And I think next year we just have the weekend after midterm open.
So you were, if you knew it was going to be 72 degrees, you know, it's going to be it's a series of games that have been, the weather hasn't been terrible. There have been some cold nights. You've actually had games where the wind chill has been a factor.
Yeah, we've
Not
had
in the
some
play
really,
of the game, but just to stand
yeah,
on the side.
Just some really windy days. And but don't worry, we will be practicing this weekend, so we'll get the advantage of the nice weather.
So are you a cold? You're not a cold weather person at all. Are
I
you?
Am so not a cold weather person. I've been so thankful that we've had the bubble, but you can't be in the bubble all the time. You have to be out in the elements, and we've recently purchased a lot of these full foot warmers, and they make such a difference. So when your feet are warm and your hands are warm and you got a hat on, you're usually okay.
When you played, when did the season start?
Oh my gosh, when I played, the season probably started in mid-March, which is also when it started when I got here, and it's been that
did
progressive.
Practice still start February 1st?
Practice started February 1st.
You've had to deal with a lot of cold nights at practices. And
yeah, but
it seems like it's been worse in the last few years.
Yeah. I think what's happened is usually, you know, February is going to be bad, but by the end of March, by spring break time, you're so looking forward to spring, and you really think that it's here and it should be here, and then New Jersey weather always throws you for a punch. You get a couple of nice days, but
it's actually, I think, if you look at the 10-day forecast, I think the really cold weather is gone, which is great. We can
fingers
hope.
Crossed, Jerry. I hope you didn't just jinx it.
I know, really. So Tuesday night was the big game here when the Princeton men played Denver. Coach Kinnery's back. You guys had practice. You weren't able to see the game.
Yeah,
but.
Well,
it?
I saw the end. I did see the end of the game. It was great. I was so happy for Princeton. I mean, it was, you can imagine. I talked to Matt. There was just so much hoopla surrounding that game and Coach Tierney potentially getting his 400th, which, having coached with him for so long, I'll be really excited for him when he does get it. But frankly, I'm glad it wasn't against Princeton and Matt's team. I was really proud of the guys and how they responded in the moment and how well they played.
I thought it was interesting that they, to people who know Bill Tierney well and to see him come back here, it was a really big thing. And I think the players know who Bill Tierney is, obviously, and they see the championship banners on the fence, but they didn't play for him.
Right.
They didn't even play for the coach who replaced him. And they weren't recruited in the, like any recruiting.
Yeah.
So like
yeah.
to them, it's like I kind of wondered what it was like for the players when he was back.
Mm-hmm.
And I also kind of wondered what it was like for Madelon. And I talked to him about it a little bit. But once the game started, it was a game. And I
absolutely.
Think it was a great event. And I'm really glad that Coach Tierney brought his team here. It was very weird to see him on the other side.
It was in those different colors, right? I think you mentioned that in your blog. But, yeah, that was weird to see him in those colors.
And I think it was a great win for the men's team.
Huge win.
And, it'd be interesting to see what they do tomorrow. But
yeah.
So my question for you, and it's obviously about the men's team and not your team, but when you play a game like that, well, you've played a lot of games like this in your – maybe
mm-hmm.
it's not against the coach like in a situation like that, but you've played a lot of big games. What happens in the next game? Like, so beating Denver is great, but it's not a league game. It gives
right.
them momentum, but
yeah.
are you now flat after – like, what do you have to guard against in that
well,
situation?
Well, I don't know if you're referring to our big win over Florida and then our
to
loss
that.
To
no,
Brown,
I
but I
not
think
that
– I mean, it was – we had a similar situation with that, with the, huge win against Florida. And then I think we did come out flat against Brown when we played them. I think that's, I think a team can take it one of two ways. They can either come out flat in the next game or they're just rolling with the momentum. And I think for the guys who've had a lot of Really, I think strong performances, but maybe have given up more goals than they would have liked in the third or fourth quarters, and so have lost some close games that I think they felt they probably had a chance to win. Like a win like that, you hope it's going to give them that positive momentum. But what a great team. I mean, Michael Sowers, he's phenomenal. The plays he's able to create are, you know, pretty awesome, and it'll be good. You know, our team and coaches will be able to see their game against Brown on Saturday. We're practicing in the morning, so it'll be nice to get out and support them.
So your game against Maryland on Wednesday night, Maryland's undefeated, ranked number 2 in the country. And what's interesting to me is there's 3 undefeated teams. There's Boston College is ranked number 1. There's Maryland is ranked number 2. Mm-hmm. And I think they clearly look like they're the 2 best teams in either order. But there's Michigan, who's the other team, and you guys scrimmaged them in the fall. Did you see that from them? I remember when that game, like, they looked pretty good.
Yeah,
they also looked like they had
they were good. It was a really competitive game against them. You know, I wouldn't have thought they would have been an undefeated. Now you're making me think about that. I think it was a 1-goal game. I'm not sure that I remember. That was so long ago.
Right.
Yeah, but they have definitely become good. Actually, their goalkeeper, Mira Shane, is a local kid from Princeton, and she's doing really well for them. And they've had a great season. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, as they get deeper into the Big Ten competition, how they continue to do. But it's great for the game to have that program doing well.
So the Maryland game, got away from you a little bit in the beginning. Then the sort of the second half of the first half was back and forth, Princeton, Maryland, Maryland, trading goals. They pulled away a little bit in the second half. What did you take out of that game?
Well, I do think that we competed hard until the very end. If a lot of people saw the game on TV, and I was kind of surprised. I've gotten a number of positive feedback. There was a text chain going on with the 94 team, and they were all watching that game. And I think you saw one play towards the end where 2 of our kids just dove for the ball out of bounds. Like, there was a lot of fight.
I remember
in that
play
game.
And I said to my, I said out loud as I was watching it, "Don't get hurt."
Yeah, seriously. But I think we played really hard in that game. I think sometimes we played harder than we played smart. So if we had played just slightly less hard, especially offensively and maybe through the midfield, and a little more intelligently, we probably would have won a few more balls and been able to score a few more goals. But I think, lessons learned, we clearly came out flat on the defensive end against stuff that we had prepped for, and you just can't have that. I mean, against a team like Maryland, you got to be ready from the get-go. I think our defense really did become better and better as the game went on, but getting in that early hole, 2 goals in the first, less than a minute, like that's tough. And then our offense, we got a few good looks. I think
their goalie made some nice saves.
She did. I mean, she had 14 saves, and that was a huge difference in the game. I mean, if you look at the stats, the shots were even. We had more ground balls. We had more caused turnovers. We had fewer turnovers, but they clearly led in the goalie saves and in the draw controls. They had 12 extra possessions off of the draw.
And she's short
control.
For a goalie.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for a draw kid. She is, she's a
5'3".
She's probably my height, so I would say she's just the right size, Jerry. But for goalies,
she's number 1 goalie in the country.
She's amazing, and good goalies come in all shapes and sizes. They really do, and she's been great for 4 years now. I mean, when Ellie DeGarmo was here, those two, were 1 year. They were both first team All-Americans. But I thought she played really, really well. And I also think you have to give the Maryland defense credit because they forced us into a lot of low angle shots.
They showed that on TV. They showed a lot of replays where
like they weren't, we had some really great opportunities and looks that she made big saves on. And then others where, they were tough angles to shoot. I thought their defense played particularly well. And their attack gets all of, they get so much of the credit for their wins, and the attackers, they get all the publicity. They're known as a big scoring team, but their D is really, 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 really tough.
And then Kaylee Hartshorn,
Kaylee Hartshorn. She was awesome at the draw. I mean, she's a great self drawer, and a big tall kid, has a really good reach. And we were trying to get a stick on it just to make it a 50-50 ball, but she was able to get a lot of possessions to herself. And that's just, you know, as the men know, playing against Yale, you know, when you give away all those extra possessions, it does make your life more difficult, right? And you have to be able to execute when you have your opportunities.
So you've been coaching here for a long time. Did you envision a day where on a Tuesday night you'd be able to watch Princeton-Denver men on one national channel, and on Wednesday night you'd be able to watch Princeton-Maryland women on another national TV channel?
Yeah, that was really cool. I kept getting pictures from alums
their TVs.
Of not just their TVs. They're like, it's in this bar I'm in. She's like, my kids loved it. I'm like, what are your kids doing in the bar? But I assume they were out for dinner someplace. I'm going to assume that. But It was pretty cool.
It's not a rarity. I mean, it's a regular thing now. There's a lot of women's games on.
Yeah, I guess that was the first women's lax game on FS1, and hopefully they thought it was a good game, and will continue to, you know, to produce more.
Have you watched the actual broadcast after the fact?
Oh, I got home at 1:15 and I watched it then.
She and Stanwyck. Yeah.
She's excellent.
She's great.
I mean, she's an amazing broadcaster, analyst. You know, she knows the game inside and out. She knows the coaches. She knows the teams. You know, she was a competitor herself. I mean, the insight she brings is really just phenomenal.
And you had Ryan Boyle on the Denver
game.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
So I think it says a lot that, you know, you could see these games on TV, the women's games on TV, even forgetting games that aren't on TV, just the total growth of the video streaming piece as well. Just every game now you can watch.
Yeah, you don't have to sit around your computer now. You can have it on your television. Yeah, and we've got another, the Penn game this year is
on
ESPNU. Yeah, so that is, it's exciting
and
to know
Quinn
that you're
Kesenick
on.
Will be there.
Oh, there you go.
So he's like the, you know, the number one men's announcer.
Yeah,
he has
he
that
is.
Game. So it's, you know, it just shows you the value that they're placing on these games.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about where you are now. So you have no game this weekend, and then Tuesday is Villanova coming back. Julie Shaner Young is the coach for the Wildcats. You coached her. She played soccer and lacrosse here. And again, basically the same question as when you go against anybody else who used to coach for you, which would have been Missy at Penn State. It would have been Keely at Brown. Mm-hmm. It would have been somebody else I can't remember. And Karen at Penn.
Yeah.
And but Julie's the only one who played for you. So when she played for you, did you think she's going to be a coach?
Oh, it made perfect sense to me that she would go into coaching. Such a great competitor and just loved the games and both soccer and lacrosse. And so she got her start down at Penn and was there for a lot of years before going to, I believe she went to Haverford College and then got the head job at Villanova. And she's a pretty incredible person, has four kids, you know, and doing this job.
Played lacrosse at UNC?
Yeah. So, you know, it'll be nice to see her and great to see what, you know, she's done with her team. Colleen, she's the other one. Colleen Smith is coaching at Yale. Not the head coach yet, but one of our recent grads.
So when you go up against somebody who you know so well, is that an advantage or a disadvantage or nothing?
I don't know with Shaner. I don't think it's not like we've played them every year. We've played them a couple of times, but haven't played them in a while. We just are resuming the series this year. And, you know, she played for me so long ago. It'll be nice to see her. I'll enjoy catching up with her. But, you know, we're both going to be, you know, fully focused on our team's efforts.
So, you know, it's the weekend off is probably a good place to sort of take a look at the overview of where you are. And the loss to Brown hurts.
Yeah.
Hurt your ranking. But
yeah.
At the same time, if you win out, you win the league. Brown's already lost a game, so if you win out, it's not going to be easy because there's a lot of good teams in the league, and the games get bunched up at the end, so you're playing a lot of good teams in a short amount of time. But still, you don't have to worry that, okay, well, we need somebody to beat them, and we need, you know, we just keep winning, and you're there.
Exactly.
Is that the message?
I think that is the message. You know, we still have everything we want directly in our hands, and we are going to face some big tests, there's no doubt about it, one of which will just be, you know, how quickly we can recover from game to game to game to game, because we do have six games in 3 weeks' time coming up. But I know our team's going to be ready. I mean, we're excited for what lies ahead, and I think you're going to see a resilient group, and hopefully we get a lot accomplished and come out feeling more confident and ready in our Villanova game, and then just kind of sail right into Ivy's from there.
So their attitude is good?
Yeah, I think, you all, to be honest, I think, you know, we were pretty down after the Brown game. Was we were hoping to really get that nice rebound against Maryland, so that was a little bit tough. But I think we're halfway through our season now. It's time for a fresh start. We do have the whole season out ahead of us, and, you know, it's up to us, the attitude and energy that we bring, and, you know, I think that's going to determine our future as a team.
So you have Villanova Tuesday night, and then the rest of the season unfolds after that. We'll be back next week to talk about how the Villanova game went and look ahead to the trip to Dartmouth that follows it. And then, of course, the rest of the season as it unfolds. We'll be here every week. We didn't mean to be here on Friday, but we, you know, with the schedule and all that, we'll be back on Thursday next week. So once again, just thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jerry.
So for Princeton Women's Lacrosse Coach Chris Saylor, Jerry Price, thank you for being with us here each week, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton Women's Lacrosse.